On the next Leonard Lopate Show, a discussion on whether 9/11 could have been prevented if the U.S. had pursued a different foreign policy in Afghanistan in the 1980s and 90s. That's today at noon on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you're just joining us and haven't yet heard the news this morning, Governor Eliot Spitzer has decided to resign, completing a stunning fall from power after he was nationally disgraced by links to a high-priced prostitution ring. Spitzer is scheduled to announce his resignation at 11:30 this morning, according to a top Spitzer staffer speaking to the Associated Press. And we do also have it from the governor's office that he will make some kind of announcement at 11:30 this morning. We will carry it live. Now, this scandal has put prostitution back in the spotlight. The cable talk shows were filled with discussions yesterday on prostitution, cheating, love. And yesterday on this show, we did a segment on prostitution as well, as it's viewed both here in the U.S. and in other countries. We did a call out for women on the issue and got some very interesting responses. Well, now we want to take the other perspective. Let's hear from men. Do men react differently to these types of high-profile sex scandals than women? Men, call us. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. How does prostitution fit into the male psyche? What lessons are you learning from the Spitzer scandal? And how did you react to the news when this first broke on Monday? Was it different from your wife, girlfriend, mother, daughter, female friends? Men, call us. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And joining us to work through this issue and take calls from you is Nando Pelosi. He's a licensed clinical psychologist with a private practice in New York City. He's on the board of advisors of the National Association of Cognitive Behavioral Therapists and is a contributing editor to Psychology Today magazine. Nando Pelosi, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you, Brian. I'm well, thanks.
So I'll put the question to you first. Do men and women tend to react to this kind of story about infidelity and prostitution differently?
Well, we're all shocked. I mean, I whenever this kind of thing happens and we see this powerful fall from grace, the first reaction is always sort of shock, even though in a way I wonder why I should be shocked, since just from a biological point of view, men and women are different. They have different interests, and some of it could be cultural, but mainly, we've evolved with different psyches. So the interesting question is why this doesn't happen more often.
Or maybe this is just how frequently people get caught.
Right. See, the thing is, though, men tend to seek novelty and variation more than women do on average. We don't like to
In sexuality in particular.
Yes. And the other thing is that men love their wives, usually seriatim, you know, one after another, but they can still have a roving eye. In fact, just from a clinical point of view, I often talk to men who say, well, you know, there must be something wrong with my relationship because I keep looking at other women and desiring other women, and my job is to show them that they may not have to make too much of that.
And you say it's about behavior, not feelings?
Well, it's more about behavior and not your psychology, not your inherent tendency to, from a historical point of view, whenever men accrued power, that translated directly to access to females. And, you know, we have that legacy, whether we like it or not. Now, what we do about it is different. You know, most men don't frequent prostitutes, as far as I know, even though the numbers are very high for arrests in prostitution. And so they find other means to deal with that kind of chronic desire.
Let's take some phone calls. Joe in Hastings, you're on WNYC. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
I'm out there dating, and I, to tell you the truth, if I'm broke, I'm not getting sex. And if I, whether I give, if I give somebody $200 to give me sex, or I take them out to dinner and spend $200, it's the only way I'm going to ever get sex. So,
ouch, Joe, you're discounting the entire emotional connection, the entire potential relationship with the woman you're taking out to dinner.
Well, welcome to reality. That's the truth.
Well, that is a little defeatist. I mean, look, women want a man with resources, or at least a man with the promise of resources. And there's another thing women tell me all the time is they want somebody who understands them and who's going to love them. So if it's just about sex, then yeah, you're gonna be run into trouble.
Well, I think that brings us to Henry in Rego Park, who has a very interesting opinion on some of this. Henry, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi. It seems pretty obvious to me that if you're going to be cheating, seeing a prostitute is much better for your family than having a girlfriend who you don't actually pay for sex but have a relationship with. You have an emotional relationship with such a girlfriend. You have spent time with her. Seeing a prostitute seems to be the best way to cheat if you're going to be cheating, and I'm not defending that.
Henry, thank you very much. Well, Dr. Pelosi, what about that?
I think that's a good point. Henry seems to be dealing with things as they are rather than as we would have them. So what he's saying, in a sense, is that we might have sex with no strings attached, and so we pay a high price, literally, for that kind of freedom.
So there is, this is men speculating about women's reactions, but that it's somehow less serious a breach of a marriage for a man to go to a prostitute than for a man to have an affair because there aren't emotional entanglements. Is that your experience and your practice with men and women?
Well, actually, no. My experience is that both are devastating, and maybe for slightly different reasons. They're both breaches, and women take that kind of thing extremely seriously. Men, I think, sweep it under the rug because to them, they really do think, look, I'm not emotionally attached. I'm not going to leave my wife. This is something that helps me keep my marriage together, and they rationalize that. But when they get caught, and it's very often that they do, there's a lot to work through.
Steve in Greenwood Lake, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve.
How are you doing?
All right.
Well, I think that it should be legalized and all of the stigma taken out of it so that it can't be used as a tool for blackmailing people and bringing people down.
From a psychological point of view, that still isn't going to handle the breach in a relationship, though. So even though we could decriminalize it, if we did, and called it a victimless crime, there are emotional consequences, including a breach of trust.
Then we could return people's relationships to the private sector.
Yeah, that's a different domain of discussion. Right. Decriminalizing it would be fine, but it's not going to destigmatize it.
You know, Steve, thanks for the call. There's an Alessandra Stanley piece in her TV column in the New York Times today called Mars and Venus Dissect the Spitzer Scandal on the TV talk shows. And she pointed to a pattern where men see a victimless crime, but women see a man straying. And maybe that goes to some of the calls that we've been getting.
Yeah, and, you know, historically, men married monogamously, but they mated polygynously. That is, when they've acquired status and resources, they tended to have harems throughout history, and to them it seems like a birthright. Now, we've evolved, you know, culturally to make that a bit more rigorous, but it still happens.
Stefan in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stefan.
Yes, how are you? And thank you for taking my call, Brian. This is my opinion.
Stefan, I'm sorry to say I have to jump in because State Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno is speaking right now as we're waiting for Governor Spitzer's resignation. We go live to Senator Bruno.
Today, Today, this afternoon, the Senate will pass its budget that we believe addresses the economic crisis in a way that rejects new taxes and limits spending. The Assembly is scheduled to pass its budget, and we are prepared to begin conference committees tomorrow and do the work we were all elected to do. As for Elliot Spitzer, my heart goes out to his wife and to his family at this time. He must deal with his own problems in his own way. But it is now time for us and all New Yorkers to move forward.
Leader, when Governor Patterson goes out of state, will you have the power to exert executive authority over the state of New York?
The Constitution of New York State indicates that the Majority Leader of the Senate assumes all the responsibilities and duties of the Lieutenant Governor. And that, by Constitution, includes a vote on the floor of the Senate, and it also includes being in place if the governor is incapacitated or out of the state. And the Constitution is very clear on that.
Working with Governor Patterson will be easier than working with Governor
Spitzer. I've had an excellent relationship with then-Senator Patterson when he was Minority Leader. We partnered on a great number of things. And we have an excellent relationship. I've talked to him any number of times in his last couple of days and have indicated to him that we will partner and govern forward in behalf of our mutual constituents, the people of New York State.
Do you have any personal anecdotes about
Senator, given what's happened with you and Governor Spitzer over the last 15 months, particularly the Dirty Tricks scandal, what's your thoughts about what has occurred in the last week? And
my thoughts are very sad for him, for his family, and you just hope and pray that he will go on with his life and take care of himself and his family and get the best result that they can get under these very, very difficult circumstances.
Is there any irony that he was trying to take you out and now he's the one who's gone?
We're going forward on managing the affairs of the people of this state. And there is no pleasure in what is going on in this state in anybody's life, and there shouldn't be, because this is serious. We have a fiscal crisis before us, and our elected responsibility is to govern, and that's what we're going to focus on today and going forward.
Senator, what do you think about the governor? You could share about David Patterson in terms of what kind of guy he is, what kind of relationship you've had with him, any personal tales you could tell us that kind of illustrate what kind of individual he is.
We are going to partner with the Lieutenant Governor and when he becomes governor, to govern. And David has always been very open with me, very forthright. I have with him in the past, and since he's been lieutenant governor, we've been together any number of times. And I look forward to a positive, productive relationship as soon as possible.
What do you think about the reports that Spitzer is trying to use the resignation as a bargaining chip to avoid jail time? Do you think he should go to jail if he's indicted?
I'm going to stay focused on what we have to do this afternoon, and that's to pass a budget. And that budget is going to eliminate $1.7 billion in taxes and fee increases. We're going to restore $354 million of the property tax cuts for seniors, middle and low income, that the governor took out of the budget, and we're going to be under him slightly in terms of spending. That's where I'm going to stay focused with my conference, and I want to thank my conference for their leadership in these very, very difficult times.
Senator, you maintain your role and the duties as lieutenant governor and majority leader throughout the entire term, or will there be some transition at some point where there'll be a new lieutenant governor or a new majority leader?
No, the Constitution is very clear, and our councils can share the parts that are pertinent here. The governor, upon a resignation, the lieutenant governor becomes governor until the next gubernatorial election. The majority leader assumes all the responsibilities of the lieutenant governor during that period.
Governor Spitzer, since this news broke?
Pardon me?
Have you spoken to Governor Spitzer?
I have not. I've spoken to the Speaker, to Senator Smith, to David Patterson, I don't know how many times, and to many others, but I have not.
Senator Spitzer tried to bury you politically. You're telling us you take no satisfaction from his fall.
What I'm telling you is that we have a budget to get done. We're in a fiscal crisis in the state. We're approaching a $5 billion deficit. And we have got to, on behalf of the overtaxed, overburdened, overworked people of this state, govern. That's what I'm elected to do. We're not elected to do other things that are of a personal nature.
Senator, you spend more time alone with the governor than anyone else in this room. Is there any insight you can give to his personality that might help us kind of understand?
Do you know, we have a terribly unfortunate circumstance that exists. And people have to deal with their own lives in ways that are appropriate for themselves and their families. And I'm going to leave it to the governor and his family to sort out how they deal with present circumstances and the future. And frankly, I have them in my prayers. And I hope that all the people in New York will pray for the best result for this individual as he goes forward, and for his wife, for his family, his extended family, and for all New Yorkers.
Has anyone said he's stepping... Governor and express these feelings to him personally? Do you have any plans to call him?
I am sure that as events unfold, that there's going to be communication. And again, I'm focused with my conference on providing the leadership that is necessary to move the fiscal affairs of this state forward. This is a distraction that has been, you know, of proportions that we've never experienced. So it's critically important that we get it behind us and that we move on, because all of us are elected truly to govern. And that's what we're going to stay focused on, going to move forward, going to govern, going to deal with this budget, and hopefully in a timely way, and going to deal with cutting what taxes we can cut, eliminating the tax cuts, the tax increases, as I mentioned. That's our role, that's our job, and I'm going to stay focused on that.
That's the New York State Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno, and though he didn't want to quite acknowledge it directly, it certainly is ironic that Governor Spitzer came in with such an agenda to get him out of office that the Troopergate mess unfolded around him, and we will see what that means for David Patterson. We will see how quickly he can respond to that. This is WNYC FM and AM New York and WNYC.org. Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC. We are expecting Governor Spitzer's official resignation announcement at 11:30 this morning. We've been taking calls before we went to Senator Bruno there for a few minutes from men. We had a call in for women yesterday on prostitution and whether it should be legal and the issues that this whole scandal raises for you. We are now taking calls from men to see how different your positions are on some of these things. And helping us do that is Nando Pelosi. He's a licensed clinical psychologist with a private practice in New York City, on the board of advisors of the National Association of Cognitive Behavioral Therapists, and a contributing editor to Psychology Today magazine. And we only have a few more minutes for this. Dr. Pelosi is still there?
Yes.
Let's run through some of these callers. Victor in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. And let me go back to our original question here, which is, was your reaction to this story different from the women in your life?
It's interesting that how compelling this kind of thing is, that whenever we look at, you know, power and sex, these are sort of human nature at their rawest form. Somebody gets into a fight, we're compelled. People tried to sweep it under the rug, saying, well, in other countries it would be on page 26. Not so. It's on page, first page all over the world.
All right. And do you think that your reaction to this, your feelings about whether prostitution should be legalized and seen as a victimless crime, is different from the women in your life? Any idea?
Are you asking me about my personal?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think that decriminalizing it would take away one layer, but I think the stigma would be just as high, if not higher. I think women would be on the alert even more because now the state is kind of penalizing men, whereas women would have to take up that arm.
Victor, thank you very much. Neil in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Same question, right to the point. Do you think your reactions to this have been different from the women in your life?
Absolutely, and I appreciate you doing a show on this that doesn't have women. Too many women have been commenting the last 24/7. Men are massively unhappy in their sexual lives, and that's why they're using prostitutes, and that's the bottom line.
Men are massively unhappy in their sexual lives, and that's why they're using prostitutes. Dr. Pelosi, do you agree with that?
Well, men may be chronically dissatisfied, but that's irrespective of how much sex they're actually getting. It's our nature to get opportunistic and to want more. Historically, there have been men who've had harems in the thousands. If he's personally and chronically dissatisfied, join the club.
Well, you're kind of saying evolutionary biology dictates that men will try to, quote, spread their seed to perpetrate the species.
Unwittingly.
To multiple partners, right? Programmed to perpetuate the species in that way, but then that comes into the modern world of emotions and rules and what we consider today unseemly entanglements.
Yeah, we have desires, and for most of human history, that kind of behavior would lead to procreation. Today, it doesn't have to, but we still have those desires.
Stuart in Valley Stream, do you see this story
differently? Good morning.
Good morning. Differently from the women in your life?
Yes, hi. I want to add something to the conversation in the sense that there are two types of sex that men engage in. When you're married or when you have a girlfriend, the sex is a more intimate. There's a sense of intimacy in that relationship, and there's more work that a man has to do in an intimate relationship, i.e., having a woman achieve orgasm and so forth, so on, having her, you know, feel satisfied. And that takes a lot of work, which a lot of men aren't skilled at. Okay, the other type of sex that men, the majority of men want to engage in, is just like a sporting type of sex. And so they feel the need to go to prostitute where they don't have to have any sort of intimacy. It's just a quick, you know, pro quo, bang, bang, bang sort of thing. And we learned this through porn movies and so forth, so on. And never we get to any type of intimacy with women. And so a lot of men don't have a lot of sex or aren't getting a lot of sex because they aren't able to harness the skills of satisfying women, and they end up, you know, just going for what they know for themselves.
Stuart, thank you very much. We're almost out of time for this conversation. Dr. Pelosi, there was a lot there from Stuart. I don't know if you want to comment on any of it.
Well, look, high testosterone men are very ambitious, and they also tend to have a high sex drive. And I think there's a spiral here because when pornography gets involved, that has a paradoxically increasing effect on all of that.
Is that like the Twinkie defense? The testosterone made me do it?
In this case, I don't think you can get by on that.
All right. Well, you know what else I think we learned today? Men talk more in abstractions than women. Because when we asked this yesterday, women were calling in and say, here's what I think about prostitution, and here's what I feel should be the case. And we had a lot of men, small sample, we don't want to generalize. Men were calling with abstractions today. Do you get that in your practice?
Yeah, men tend to be a bit more abstract in general, but both parties can be hurt by this. I've seen couples get through this and work through and come to some resolution, sometimes even deepening a relationship, but it's a big slog.
Difference between here's what I'm feeling and here's what happens
right.
In general. Nando Pelosi, clinical psychologist in New York, a contributing editor to Psychology Today magazine. Thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll get the latest news headlines now from WNYC's Lance Lucky. And we are awaiting Governor Spitzer's resignation, expected at 11:30 this morning.